All right. And we'll talk about transformation and connect it with water baptism, because there was a transformation that took place this morning as someone who was standing upright died to their sins and went into the grave. That's symbolic. And then came out completely covered with water, the washing of the water, washing of the blood, washing of those things are symbolic. So that's what we witnessed this morning. I want to talk to you about the significance of that and how powerful it is. But it's something that Christ has asked us to do. So if you haven't been water baptized, you need to take that step. I probably shared this story with you before, but my son-in-law Jazz is the pastor in Delta, youth pastor, and so the lead pastor said to him, "Hey, Jazz, why don't you, we're having a water baptismal service." He says, "Why don't you get in the tank this time?" And Jazz said, he's already on staff. He said, "Yeah." He says, "The only one problem is," and what's that? "Well, I haven't been baptized myself." So he'd been through Bible college. And this is basically what Jazz said. His senior pastor went, "What?" So it's kind of thinking, well, you know, we if we accept Christ, and especially if we end up in full-time ministry, we should be baptized, right? Yeah, hopefully we're saved too. Those are kind of little like prerequisites. So actually, Jazz, what they did in their service was they introduced who are going to be baptismal candidates, and they said our first person to be baptized is Pastor Jazz. And so I think what it did is it helped others who have been resistant to doing this, and they got baptized as well. So if you haven't been baptized, we got water in the tank. Honestly, if you want to get baptized, you made a commitment to Christ, or you want to make a commitment to Christ, we will baptize you after the service here. I don't know how we'll do it. Send you home in wet clothes or buy you brand new clothes. I don't know what we'll do. Anyways, I think it's really an important thing to signify that you are committed to Christ and committed to his life. So let's look at this. I want you to look in Acts chapter 2. Oh, no, I got that. That was yesterday. That was last week. Hang in there with me. I wonder if I got it on this. If not, I'll have to use my phone. It's on the screen. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Anyways, so Acts 16, yeah, Acts chapter 2 is last week. Acts 16, once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met, and we were met, and it's interesting because it's Luke who's writing the book of Acts, okay, Dr. Luke. He says, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners of this slave by fortune telling. Today we still have fortune tellers to say they still take money. Yeah, we do. We look in the newspaper and read the horoscopes. We go to the Chinese restaurant and what do? We look at our fortune cookies. Right? We got to find out what it says. And there's numbers on there if you want to play the lottery. It's a great thing, isn't it? It's bogus. It is bogus. So is fortune telling bogus. I really liked it one time. I can't remember where we were, but there was a big thing on the news that said that this fortune telling place went bankrupt. And I said to Elaine, couldn't they see that coming? Like, come on. If you're any good, you would see that coming. They're always predicting something. Well, you know, there's some darkness here, and that means that you're going to die. Well, that's a beautiful thing, don't you think? But the truth is, you're all going to die in God's timing. All right? Don't get caught up in this whole bogus thing about fortune telling. But this woman would come. Now, interesting that this woman had a spirit. Next slide, if you would. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Doesn't that sound like good advertising for your ministry? I mean, it's the truth, isn't it? They were talking about this message. But the reality is, she had a spirit of religion. There's people that have a spirit of religion today. They say all the right things, but they say it from the wrong reason. See, the devil can mimic anything. And I've dealt with people even since I've been in this church here. I need some suspenders, I think. Since I've been in this church here where I dealt with people who have a spirit of religion. And they say all the right things, but it's not from the Holy Spirit. It's from the unholy spirit. And when we see this, she's kept this up for many days. And in the next slide, please. It says, finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, not to the woman, to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. He didn't go, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her, at the top of his voice. I don't think so. I just said, he said, I've had enough of this. This is not the Spirit of Christ. Even though you're speaking truth, you're speaking it from the wrong source. And so at that moment, no struggle, that moment, she was set free. Boy, I don't know whether any of you experienced that in people's lives about being set free, but there are a lot of people in our lives, in our families, in our society, in our community, everywhere we are, that need to be set free from demonic activity in their lives. All right? We need to be free. We need to be free. And on Wednesday, this Wednesday, we're having not a Bible study on Wednesday nights from now on. We're having a regular service where we're going to have worship. Pastor Bob's going to speak on freedom. And we're going to do that for about 6 or 8 weeks. How many is it, Bob? About 8 weeks. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to have times at the altar. We're actually having another service, and we're starting it on Wednesday night. If you know somebody who needs freedom, if you know somebody that can't get to church on Sunday, this is what we want to do. We want to open this up. And we're going to believe that God is going to do some stuff in people's lives. This is going to be a place where we have time for you, so you have time for him. Did you get that? I'm not going to rush through this. It's not going to be an hour, and we're going to go, oh, well, let's everybody go home. It could be an hour. It could be an hour and a half. I don't know what it's going to be. But we have time for you, so you have time for him. So at that moment, that spirit left. Next slide. Isn't this interesting? When her owners, she wasn't a person to them. You are not a person to the devil. If he has you as his slave, you do not have personhood. You are something. You're collateral. And when they realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off into the marketplace to face the authorities. You just ruined our business, buddy. Isn't that interesting? He just called a spirit out, and all of a sudden they went bankrupt. And, you know, you either served God or money. And in this case, it was obviously money. I need to get this on my phone here. Please bear with me for a second. Technology. We've got the screens working, and now I don't have my phone working. Why don't I just use the Bible? Hey, Don? We could probably do that. Oh, yeah, I get so caught up in this technological world here. Because that's what I have, is just to have scripture up there anyway. So, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope was in making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our whole city into an uproar." Don't you get excited when the whole city's in an uproar about Jesus? Our city isn't in an uproar about Jesus. Our city's in an uproar about everything else. Our city, Richmond, BC, needs to become a city that's in an uproar about Jesus Christ. Yeah. By advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. You know why? Because Romans believed in everything. As long as you believed in the emperor, you could put Jesus on the shelf just like every other idol, every other god. You could worship. The Pantheon is just a place of gods. It's a warehouse for gods. There's only one God. And there's got no equal. There is only one God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And there is no one. No one that compares. And so Paul is standing there, Paul and Silas, and they're saying this. And they're coming against them with the legalese. We're going to have that kind of legalese. We're already challenged in everything that we do as Christians, believing in a Judeo-Christian ethics and way of living. And so you know what? You can get a crowd mentality by going into a whole area and just getting people psyched up. So the crowd joined him in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered that they be stripped and beaten. So basically, in the public square, their clothes were pulled off and they beat them with rods. And after they had beaten them severely, they were flogged severely. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Can you imagine being beaten with rods? Being naked there? They shamed. The whole thing was to shame and to destroy a person. So you're preaching the gospel and you're going to be beaten and shamed because a bunch of people challenged that. We don't have that in our country, but some of you know that experience from your countries you're from. And it's happening right now today. Upon receiving these kind of orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet to stocks. So here they are. If you got beaten severely, you're not going to be able to cause a prison riot. You're already probably laying in a heap on the ground, bleeding and wounded, maybe broken bones. And instead, they put them in chains. They shackled them by their arms and by their neck and by their feet, and they shackled them there in a position that was very uncomfortable. Can you imagine one human being doing that to another? About midnight, Paul and Silas were singing and praying. They were singing hymns too, okay? I don't know whether they were singing our hymns, but they were singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. You got a captive audience. See, Paul and Silas didn't go, "Oh, this is really not what I had planned." Well, they probably said that anyway, but what they were saying was, "I have this opportunity. I can give glory to God. And we're here. God knows we're here." Please understand that. God knows everything about you in your circumstances, in your situation. And about midnight, after they were beaten, They were singing and praying. And they were witnessing to all the other prisoners who had no hope. And then there was an earthquake. There was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Everybody's chains came loose. I love that. When Jesus died, gave up his spirit, the veil ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And all of a sudden, there wasn't a separation between man and God. You could walk right into the very Holy of Holies. And the ground, now we think about earthquakes and we go, oh man, if there's an earthquake here, there's a thing called liquefaction and we're going to disappear. Richmond is going to disappear. How's that for encouraging? You can go home now and just kind of sit on your deck thinking, wonder when that's going to happen. And, you know, the plates are subducting and all that kind of stuff, right, Lane? They're twisting around, and all of a sudden there's a whole bunch. There's earthquakes happening all the time. And then there's the big one. Have you heard about the big one? It's coming. Well, that earthquake came. It came, and it broke the prison apart. It broke the prison apart, and the doors that were locked flew open. And the chains that they were chained in broke loose. Isn't that great? Not for the jailer. He was pretty scared because it was his life or theirs. If they got away, he would die. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in the dark, the Holy Spirit said, this man is going to kill himself. This man has no hope. And they had hope. They had Jesus. You have hope in this world when people don't have any hope. You have Jesus. And you need to share Jesus when people don't have any hope. So in the darkness, he says, don't kill yourself. And he came running inside. He said, we're all here. The jailer called for the lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You don't want to think that maybe some of those hymns and some of those prayers got out into the prison warden's office? What must I do? He must have read the reports about why Paul and Silas were in there. Well, they were preaching about this guy Jesus and you could get saved. And so when the earthquake happened and the doors flew open and the shackles came off and they were free, this man who ran the prison wasn't free. He was in prison, inside his own prison. And Jesus opened the door. And Paul and Silas just said, hey, don't take your life. So he said, what must I do to be saved? I remember when I first came to know Christ, just before that, people were talking to me, you know, you need to get saved, Caruso. And I'm thinking like, what's saved? Saved from what? What's the big deal? Saved. But you see, this jailer knew that he wasn't. And they replied, Paul and Silas, just simply believe. In the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household. Like that. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his household. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took all of them and washed their wounds. And immediately he and his whole family were baptized. I don't know about that scripture, but, you know, after my dad passed away, he had accepted Christ 2 weeks before he died in the hospital. And I think of that scripture. he and his household. Because it took a few years. It took 10 years for me to come to Christ. And then Elaine came to Christ at that time, and then my brother had already made a commitment to Christ, and then my mom came to Christ. Your household. Some of you are struggling with that. You have unsaved loved ones, and you're struggling with that, and some of them are maybe not feeling well, and maybe they got maybe there's a whole bunch of different circumstances, and you just don't see any hope. Maybe they're even incarcerated. Jesus Christ is in the prisons. He's in the hospitals. He's in your neighborhood. He's in you. So wherever you go, Jesus Christ is there. You need to understand that. This is not a sophisticated type of ministry. It's you being who you are in Christ. You being who you are in Christ. So this guy comes to Christ, and the first thing he does is, instead of having chains reshackled on these people, he takes and he cleans their wounds, washes their wounds, bandages them up, and immediately, Paul, where's Pastor Stephen? Is he in here? He might be helping. Oh, there you are. So nobody beat you early this morning, did they? Okay. I wanted to check. And it probably, if you had open wounds and stuff like that, you probably wouldn't want to go into the tank. You wouldn't want to go into a river. You might not even be able to stand, because it depends on the wounds. But you see, Paul and Silas just went in anyway. And they baptized. I don't know how big the prisoner's family was. But he and his family, his whole household, that meant the servants and it meant everyone, were baptized in water. That is amazing. That's an amazing story. I love it. If you want to turn back with me to chapter 8 of Romans, turn ahead, I mean. Or chapter 6, sorry. Paul says this, what shall we say then in chapter 6? Should we go on sinning so that grace can increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, and therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I don't know whether you can fully grasp that. But Christ died, went into the tomb, and didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. It's the only Savior, the only God that died and came back to life. The only one. And he did that for us. Resurrection. And he said in the end times, when he comes back, there's a resurrection. And us, who are in Christ, will be caught up with him. These physical bodies, just think about your physical body right now. It is important to God. We are going to have a recreated body. And some of you are going, yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm not too happy with the one I got right now. But you're going to have a recreated body to live on this recreated earth. And there's going to be this wonderful experience of living with God completely. Can you imagine being in his presence all the time? That's what it was in the Garden of Eden. That was the plan in the beginning. And that's all about resurrection, because God wants to resurrect us into his presence forever and ever. So, transformation. Our lives are different now. Our lives are different when we come to Christ. We need to understand that Christ died for us so that we might be alive and dead to sin. Alive to God and dead to sin. That's something you need to tell yourself every time the enemy comes into your court and tempts you. That's what you need to tell the enemy all the time when you're struggling with something and you don't have any hope. You need to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan, because I am more than a conqueror. I'm more than a victor. I belong to Christ. I don't belong to anyone else. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to someone who uses me. I'm not a slave. I'm free. I'm free." And so I just feel that we need to know that piece of transformation in our lives, that from death to life, light or darkness to light, and it gives us that ability to walk as Christ walked on this earth with the hope. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." He has anointed each and every one of you. I want that team to come back, the worship team, if they would. Maybe this morning you're here and you have never made that decision for Jesus Christ to give him yourself. And I think that's the most important thing we could ever do. Because when you give yourself to him, you destroy the legal rights that Satan has over you. Because right now, because of sin, you're separated from God. So what you want to do is you want to get out of that court and you want to get into God's court. You do. You want to make that commitment to Christ. And so it's a very simple prayer, just like the jailer said, "What must I do? What must I do to receive Christ, to be saved?" And the answer is, you need to believe. I want you to stand, if you would, with me. Maybe this morning you need to believe. You've kind of struggled a lot with your lives, but you need to believe this morning. And so I'm going to give you that invitation to come up, and we'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And then maybe there's some people here who have never really fully lived that they kind of asked Christ to come into their lives, but they never made him Lord. Never made him, he's Savior, but he's not Lord. He's not one that you just give your whole life to. And maybe you're struggling with that this morning. Maybe you've been struggling out a long time because it's just kind of a thing that you do. But there's more than a thing that you do. There's a thing that you can begin to live, and that is the freedom of Jesus Christ. No more prisons, no more walls, no more chains, no more shackles. Everywhere you put your foot, the presence of God goes, and now you are a source of light and life to the people around you. Maybe you've been struggling with that for a long time. So I'm going to pray for you, and then if you want just to come up, I have a few people up here to pray with you and encourage you right now. Father, I just pray right now for this group of people. There's a there's just a sense, Lord, that people need to receive everything that you have. So just as we are here this morning and there's some wrestling and with your Holy Spirit, that these hearts would just receive you. So I'm going to just say this prayer and you can say it along with me. When you say it along with me and say it to God, and if you've never done that before, then would you come and see one of us pastors? After, if you come up here, we'll pray for you as well. We'll give you some materials and we'll help you walk in that fullness. And maybe this prayer could also help if you've been really kind of struggling with your walk. So say it after me. Father, I want to thank you for loving me. Thank you for Jesus coming in my life. Thank you for dying for my sins, Jesus. And I want to receive you and your gift of salvation. I want you to wash me clean. And devil, I do not belong to you anymore. Not from this point on. I do not have to battle with you over areas that have kept me awake at night. Because Jesus lives inside of me. And he has defeated you. I once was darkness. Now I'm light. And so I ask Jesus to empower me by your Holy Spirit, fill me with the Father's love, and then guide me so that I honor you in everything that I do and everything that I am. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Just remain standing as the team leads us in one more ministry. And if you want prayer, if you want to come to the altar, please just find your way up. And